Integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both, together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia, this is Dr. John Kreutz.
Welcome to Integrated. What does it mean to be reformed? Do you like that word? I think that most of us kind of have an instinct that labels like reformed or other kinds of things are kind of suspicious or maybe a bad thing. I know that's the background I come from. When our church had the opportunity to join with a network of churches called FIRE, Fellowship of Independent Reformed Evangelicals, there were definitely some people in our church that asked some hard questions. They kind of bristled. I don't know if we want to be part of a network of churches that has reformed in the label. Now, if somebody asks you, are you reformed? It's a good kind of rule of thumb to say, what do you mean by that? Because it's true that different people have different definitions of labels. And you don't want to say, oh, I'm this, but you know, they're understanding something different than your meaning. I've often said to be reformed means that the glory of God is the accent over all of life and ministry. It's a God-centered view of the world. Who was it? Copernicus, that kind of was kind of famous for kind of discovering that the planets go around the sun as opposed to everything going around the earth. The earth is not the center of the solar system or the universe. The sun is the center of our solar system. And in the same way, people sometimes say they've come to the Copernican revolution in their theology. It's all about the glory of God. Everything goes around God, not me. And that is a very important lesson. And a lot of people would say, that's really the essence of what it means to be reformed. And so if you understand that, and we're God-centered, we're Bible-centered people, then sure, I'm happy to say that I'm reformed. Now, does that mean some of the reformers taught some things that I think are different than what the Bible teaches? Absolutely, yes. But you know what? The reformers were some of the people who pointed me to the standard of the Bible as being the benchmark. And so in that sense, the reformers taught me not to be reformed in the same way they are, because they taught me that the Bible is the authority. Now, one of the things people point to when it comes to the Reformation is the five slogans of the Reformation, the solas. Now, there's more slogans than just those five, but those five are really good. And of course, they originally were in Latin, and I thought it would be helpful to see if we can test those slogans to see if they match up with the teachings of the Bible. And then to do what we do on Integrated, how do we integrate the truths of God's Word into our lives? So for the next couple of weeks, let's consider the slogans of the Reformation. And let's consider what they are, what they mean, are they biblical, and how they apply to our lives. The first slogan is sola scriptura, the scripture alone. And basically, this is a question of authority. Who's in charge? Who's the boss? Yes, we believe that human authors wrote the words of Scripture, but we believe that they were guided by the Holy Spirit so that the product that they wrote down is the very Word of God. Kind of like in the Old Testament when a prophet like Isaiah would say, thus says the Lord, or thus says Yahweh, and then gives a message. Well, Isaiah is the one mouthing the words,
but really those, that's a message from the Lord himself. Those are authoritative and inspired words. So we believe that the human authors wrote the Bible under divine inspiration, but that the Bible is the very Word of God. Yes, the general ideas are inspired by God in the Bible, but the very words of Scripture, the details, if you will, are also inspired by God. Sometimes people say we believe in the verbal plenary inspiration of Scripture. Verbal means the words, plenary means all of them. All right. So the Holy Spirit and not the church is the true expositors. So the reformers were coming against the context of the Roman Catholic Church. The traditional Roman Catholic Church would also, in addition to scriptures, look to the Pope or various councils or the teaching of the church that has been stored up, right? That would be authorities as well as the Bible. And so in contrast to the traditional Roman Catholic teaching, the reformers said, no, we're putting the Bible on top of it all. The Bible is the ultimate authority. And so reformers like Martin Luther taught the scriptures to the people. He had major series that he would teach in the school there in Wittenberg, but also in the church to the common people through the Psalms and Romans and Galatians and Titus and Hebrews. And about 50 years later, John Calvin is there in Geneva, and he's teaching away through almost every book in the Bible because he was teaching most days of the week, not just on Sundays, but he was teaching midweek services in the Old Testament and teaching through the Gospels and teaching through all of these things. And these were put together in his commentaries. And you know, you can pick up one of the commentaries of John Calvin and go, you know what? That thing still hits. That still rings true. It is very good because John Calvin was a Bible man. And so therefore his commentaries are very valuable even today. Some people think, oh, John Calvin just sat around and thought about predestination. No. He did think about predestination, but he thought about that because the Bible teaches about that. And he just was a Bible man through and through. So what would be some of the implications of having this sort of view of the scriptures in that day? Well, there would be some striking consequences because you had some traditional teachings of the Catholic Church that the reformers said, no, we're not going to do that. We're not believing the medieval beliefs and practices just because the church has always taught that. Because now we understand the authority is the scripture alone. And so that's our standard. No fanciful allegorical interpretations allowed. No, it's the straight scripture. What did the original authors of the scripture intend for the people to understand? How does the history of the times and the grammar and the culture all fit together to understand what that would have meant? That's why we appreciate the commentaries of John Calvin, because he was a Bible guy. He wasn't just trying to make the scripture mean what he wanted it to mean. He looked at it in the flow of the context, examining the very words that were used, and that's how he would make his interpretations. So when you say, okay, well, the church teaches, the Roman Catholic Church teaches purgatory, that after you die, you have another chance to have some of your sins burned off. Maybe it'll take a few years, maybe it'll take 100 years or 1,000 years, but then you'll make it to heaven. No, the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that comes the judgment. So purgatory is out. What about the exaltation of the Virgin Mary and the saints? No, that's out. We're not exalting people. Christ alone is the mediator between God and man. And so, on the other hand, you go, what about the Trinity? Now, there's no Bible word for Trinity, but when we put the scriptures together, we do understand, yes, there's one God, and he manifests himself in three persons, co-equal, co-eternal. That's absolutely right. What about the incarnation of Jesus? Well, what do the scriptures say? It's not about what tradition says or what a pope says. What does the Bible say? Yes, two natures. Jesus, truly man, truly God, completely. Okay, that's really important. Well, the reformers were so committed to the scriptures that they translated the Bible into the language of the people. That's huge. That's absolutely important because during the medieval times, before the Reformation, the Roman Catholic Church had a Latin translation of the scripture, the Vulgate, which was good, but it had some problems. Well, the reformers said, no, we're not about Latin. We got to go straight back, Martin Luther says, to Greek and Hebrew, and translate that into German, the language of the people, so that the people can read the scriptures, because the scripture alone is our authority. We have to take a break. After that, we're going to see, does the Bible teach this, and how does this apply to our lives?
And we'll be back with more from Dr. John Krantz in just a moment. I don't know if you've noticed this. I'm sure you have, but our lives don't give us warning lights. Not like our cars will, you know, the little red light that blinks or the check engine light that comes on. But our souls, it doesn't send you some kind of warning when something is wrong or off. It just shows up as bitterness. And when that happens in your life, let me tell you what you don't need. You don't need cliches. What you need is clarity. And that is why Fortis Plus exists. When you're struggling with fear and temptation and guilt, these aren't surface level topics. They cut deep. And Fortis Plus points you back again and again to what God actually says. It's free, it's accessible, and it's there when you're lying awake at midnight staring at the ceiling and you can't sleep because there's so much going through your mind. So I would recommend that you download Fortis Plus right now if you haven't done so, because it's absolutely free of charge. You can go to your app store on your phone and download Fortis Plus, or you can go to your streaming store on your smart TV. And also, download Fortis Plus, all absolutely free. And here's the thing, Fortis Plus doesn't stand by itself. It stands because of people who believe the gospel is worth sharing. Those are what we call gospel partners. And if you've never thought about it, being a gospel partner, it's not about adding one more thing to your list. But what it is about multiplying your reach. Most of us can't travel the world. We can't put ourselves in every broken situation, but through partnership, the Word of God can. Gospel Partners are the quiet, steady foundation that makes our free biblical resources possible for people you'll never meet. Imagine someone searching for that same kind of hope that you've been struggling for late at night. They stumble across Fortis Plus and they find answers instead of empty promises. And they find those answers because the content that will help them is absolutely free of charge. And it's free because of you. They don't know your name. They won't send you a thank you card. But your faithfulness becomes part of their story. That's what it means to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. And if that stirs something in you, you can learn more about what it would look like in your life to join us right now at FortisInstitute.org. Just make sure you're already faithfully giving to your local church. That's your first giving priority. But if you are, head to FortisInstitute.org right now. All right, let's get back to Dr. John Krantz now. This is Integrated. Welcome back to Integrated.
It has to go from a theory, a concept, or even a theology. It has to move our hearts.
And now back to your host, Dr. John Krantz.
Welcome back. Today we are considering the first slogan of the Reformation, sola scriptura, the scripture alone. It is a question of authority. We are not saying that there is no benefit to ancient creeds and confessions, or even the statement of faith of your church, or those kinds of things. Those can be wonderful summaries of the teaching of Scripture. However, we never want to elevate those creeds and confessions above the Bible. if the Bible says something and that it goes against what the old creed or confession says, we have to take an exception. We have to say, not that part. We like all of the rest here because it reflects the teaching of the Bible or summarizes the teaching of the Bible. But we can't say, oh no, the creed said it, therefore it's right. That's not the way that we ought to think about ancient creeds and confessions. I do want to say, though, there is a beauty, isn't it, to saying we are confessing, we are affirming our belief in the very same understanding of the scripture that our brothers and sisters have for hundreds, even over thousands of years in all parts of the world. That's really sweet and exciting. However, we don't get so excited that we're like, yeah, we're so excited about this creed or confession that even though it kind of says it like this and the Bible says it like that, we're going to go with the creed. No. Let's go with the Bible, because the scripture alone is our authority. Well, what does the Bible say about this? Is there some evidence that the Bible views itself as the main thing, the authority? Well, let's look at a couple of verses. Deuteronomy 30, 15 through 18. Moses talking to the people, getting ready to go into the promised land. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. Yes, it's the Bible. You got to know the book. You got to love the book. You've got to do what the book tells you all the time in every way. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus had these profound words. In Matthew chapter 5, you can be tempted to think, oh, Jesus, wow, he flipped the script, didn't he? He was doing his own thing. He wasn't doing all the things that the scripture said, but you need to be very careful about that, because Jesus himself said these words in Matthew 5, 17 and 18. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Jesus doesn't want us to diminish our view of scripture. Absolutely not. He was talking to the religious leaders in John 10, 35, and just had this little line. He said, the scriptures cannot be broken. Absolutely not. When they were challenging him about his understanding of divorce in Matthew chapter 19, how did Jesus answer this controversial issue? He starts by saying in verses 4 and 5, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? And said, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So Jesus is like, yeah, that's what the Bible says. Yeah, all the way back in Genesis. And so we need to take Genesis seriously, because Jesus takes Genesis seriously, as he does the rest of the Word of God. What about the apostles? Did they keep going in the same understanding that Jesus had? How about Acts chapter 4, verse 24 through 26. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together and said, Sovereign Lord, who made heaven and earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of your father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. So they're being persecuted. They pull out their Bibles. They get to Psalm 2, the second Psalm, and they say, yeah, this is right. This is true. In fact, David said this. He was the king. We love David. He was one of our heroes. But you know what? David didn't just make this up. These were words from the Holy Spirit. And so therefore they are inspired. Therefore they are true. Therefore they have authority, final authority. I was reading my Bible this morning and I read 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 13. I hope you read your Bible today. Have you read it already? I mean, this is podcasts are great. I love podcasts, but let us never make podcasts have the main place in our hearts and minds. Let us be Bible people, right? I was reading my Bible today and I got to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Wonderful words. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. Oh, don't you love that? The scriptures, that's our authority. Why are the scriptures our authority? Because they're inspired and profitable, as Paul tells Timothy, reminding him in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. So is the Bible our authority? Absolutely, yes. So the first slogan of the Reformation, sola scriptura, can you affirm that? I can. Yes, yes, amen. That matches up with the Bible's understanding of itself. These are the inspired words of scripture, and because they come from God, they carry God's authority. All right, well, what does that mean for us? And what does that mean for our churches? Well, it should affect your preaching. You should be at a church that preaches the word of God. The word of God is the authority, not the pastor, not his clever teachings, not because he quotes another famous Bible teacher who made up something. And you go, oh, well, if that guy said it, it must have some weight and authority. Well, it has weight and authority as in so much as it matches up with the authority and teaching of God's word. How about your counseling ministry in your church? How about the counsel you give to people? We all have problems. We all give counsel. The question is it biblical? Because it's the Bible that has the authority. The Bible should have the pride of the place, so to speak. It's the main thing. What about your personal ministry to one another? Are you just a nice person? Do you just say nice things because they're nice and you're nice? Or do you share the scripture? Do you speak the truth in love, as it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15? That's where the power is. That's where the benefit is. That's where the authority is, because we're people that believe the scripture alone. What about the way we worship as a church? Is it okay to freestyle? Is it okay to just do what we want to do? Or should we make sure that our worship matches up with what the Bible says? What's the Bible about? How does God want to be worshiped? Well, he tells us, you know, there should be preaching, there should be prayer, there should be singing to one another. There should be ministry. There should be the ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper. These come from the Bible. We want to do what the Bible says because the Bible is our authority, not because of what works, not because of tradition, because the Bible tells us. And when the Bible says something to us, we obey it, not because it fits with the culture. What if the culture and the government says no? You got to say it this way. Well, I'm sorry. We joyfully submit to the Bible because the Bible is the very word of God. This doesn't mean we're obnoxious about it. This doesn't mean that we just use the Bible as a club to beat other people with. No. The Bible tells us to be kind and to speak the truth in love, to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. So we're Bible people who are filled with the Scripture, who joyfully submit to the Scripture in our lives and in our churches. And not because the Reformers said it, but because the Reformers got it right. Sola Scriptura. Now go and do God's word.
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Krotz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Krotz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.